Hello and welcome. Today is our third lecture on contracts and contract formation. Remember, it's a two-step dance. In order to form a contract, you need an offer and you need an acceptance, and the two get together. We talked about your right to contract, what is a contract, its meaning, its definitions. We talked about offers and how you make an offer and what offers are. Tonight, we're going to talk about acceptances, because that's the second part. You need an offer, you need an acceptance. They're the two parts of what constitute a binding agreement. You have the offer, you have the acceptance, and with ability to go through genuine assent, that means you form the agreement and you want it to be a binding contract. When you do that, you will create a contract through that process. Remember last time we spoke about offers, we spoke about contracts. We spoke about what the founders wanted and their belief that you had to have a right to contract, freedom of contract, in order to pursue happiness. We gave a definition of what a contract is, which is a binding agreement between two or more parties. We talked about the elements of a contract and the nature of a contract. In our very last lecture, we talked about contract formation, where you need an offer and you need an acceptance, and what is the definition of an offer? What are the requirements for an offer? How do you terminate an offer? Well, in this lecture, we're going to talk about the second part of that. First, you make the offer, then comes the acceptance. What's the definition? What's the requirements of an acceptance? What's the form of an acceptance? How do you accept a contract? The nature and the effect of it. And then later on, we'll talk about our case. Contract formation. We're going to talk about the definition of a contract, the elements of a contract, the definition of acceptance, and the requirements of an acceptance, and all that comes with that. And lastly, we're going to finish up with auction sales, which are a special kind of offer and acceptance dance, if you will. What's the definition of a contract? Again, we gave this the last time. It's an agreement between two or more parties. Has to be at least two, but it can be more, creating obligations that are enforceable or recognizable by law. In order to have a contract, you have to have certain elements. You have to have that agreement between competent parties. The parties have to be able to agree. They can't be insane, they can't be dead. They have to be able to agree, and that's where the competency comes in. Why? Because you need genuine assent. You need to have both the parties actually agree to the contract and to the terms of it. That's where genuine assent comes in. It's got to be supported by consideration. Otherwise, you're just volunteering. You want to have a contract be one where the two parties get together with reciprocal obligations and duties. That's where consideration comes in. We'll do a whole unit on that. But basically, it's a something for a something. I'm going to promise you something, you're going to promise me something else, and we have to fulfill both of our promises. And the contract has to be for a lawful purpose. I can't do something that's illegal, or else that's not enforceable by law. Makes sense. And it's got to be in legal form. Now, not every contract needs to be in writing. If it's covered under the statute of frauds, it does. Absent that, if it's not a contract for the sale or purchase of real property, if it's not a contract which can't be completed within a year, if it's not a contract regarding the sale of goods in excess of $500, all those things are in the statute of frauds. If it's not one of those things, it can be an oral contract. But it still has to have a sufficient form where the terms are out there for both parties to understand. Should be in writing, should be, but doesn't always have to be. Definition of acceptance under the law again, you have to have an offer and an acceptance. Remember what the offer is. It's where the offeror goes forward and invites the offeree to contract, to enter into a binding agreement with the terms of the contract set out. What's an acceptance? It's an offeree's, that's the person to whom the offer is made, assent, either by express act or by implication from conduct, that's in the case of a unilateral contract that we spoke about before, to the terms of an offer in a manner authorized or requested by the offeror so that a binding contract is formed. Basically, it's where the offeree, the person to whom the offer is made, says through assent, expressing that they agree that they're going to take on that binding agreement. That is an acceptance. Once a offeree does accept the contract, they are immediately bound by that offer without any further negotiation. Let's talk about what constitutes an acceptance, the privileges of the offeree, the effect of an acceptance, the nature of an acceptance, who may accept, the manner and time of an acceptance, and the communication of an acceptance. What constitutes an acceptance? Again, an acceptance is the offeree's manifestation of assent. That means I agree with what your offer is, and I agree that I will do what you're asking me to do, made in a manner or invited or required by the offer as determined by a reasonable person. So if you say, I agree to this, I accept your offer, if a reasonable person says either by your words or your conduct that you accepted, then you have accepted. There's no, when you don't have a contractual intention to accept it, there's no valid acceptance. So if you don't have a contractual intent, you don't have a contract. There's no particular words required to accept as long as those words express that contractual intention that you want to accept, that you want to take on that promise that is being asked for in the offer. A reservation of a future right to reject is also not an acceptance because you're making a qualification of the offer and you're not accepting. Now, the privilege of the offeree means that they always have the right to refuse to accept. Nobody's required to accept the offer. Accordingly, if there's no acceptance, there is no contract. An acceptance must be a response to the offer, not in response to something other than the offer. And such a solicitation of other offers, that's not an acceptance. The acceptance is by the offeree, and the offer is directed to the offeree. It is the offeree who has the privilege and the power of acceptance or rejection, not a third party. So if I say, will you cut my lawn? That's not an offer to your friend to cut the lawn. It's an offer to you, and only you have the right to accept it or to reject it. Past conduct doesn't mean assent. If I ask you, will you cut my lawn, because I've asked you several times and you've done it several times before, that doesn't mean you have to agree, and it doesn't mean that you will do it. It means that that offer is being made to you, and you have the right to reject it if you want. The privilege of acceptance vests in the offeree. The effect of the acceptance is that you create a valid contract. You have an offer which offers the terms of the contract, and you have an acceptance by the offeree that creates the contract. That's what happens when you accept it. And once you have an acceptance, a contract is created, and neither party then can unilaterally withdraw or cancel it without the consent of the other one. Where there's no contractual intention, there's no valid acceptance. What's the nature of an acceptance? What is an acceptance? It's the manifestation of an intent to enter into a binding agreement. That manifested intent says, I agree with what your offer is and I will do it. You're asking for a promise back from me and you're promising me things for that promise. I accept that agreement. It's an objective or outward appearance of acceptance, not some subjective, unexpressed intent. You literally have to show that you're accepting it. It's absolute and unconditional. You can't turn around and change the terms of the contract in your acceptance. You have to accept what is offered to you. If you do change the terms, that's a counteroffer, and that's a rejection. It's not an acceptance. An acceptance is to just what is offered, and it is without changes. How can you accept? You can accept in a boatload of ways. By saying, I accept, by signing a contract, by shaking the person's hand and saying, that's a good idea, let's enter into this contract, let's do this. Or you can simply do an affirmative shake of the head shake the person's hand and say, we're good. But it just has to expressly manifest the intent that you wish to take on and be bound by the contract that is being proposed. Once again, the change of the offer's terms is not an acceptance. So if I turn around and say, yeah, I'll cut your lawn, but I'm not gonna do it for $100, I want 110. Well, that is a change in the terms. That's not an acceptance, that's a counteroffer. And that means that the party who made the offer then has to accept. You switch the tables. Again, who may accept? Only the person to which the offer is offered. So that's the offeree, the person to whom the offer is directed. Unless the offer says otherwise, only the offeree may accept. So if I post a offer that is broadly suggested to the public, then that could be accepted by more than just the person to whom it's directed, because it's directed to the public at large. That's an exception to this rule, but generally only the person to whom the offer is made can accept it. Manner and time of acceptance, a late acceptance, which is not consistent with the offer, has no legal effect. It is the offer that is controlling with respect to the manner and time of acceptance. The manner and time of acceptance must be in the way that the offer says it is. And any such acceptance takes effect when the offeree communicates an absolute and unconditional intent to accept the offer. Silence is not acceptance. Just not objecting to the offer is an acceptance. You have to affirmatively accept. And you have to turn around and say, I will do this. And you have to do it by the time that is required in the offer. If the offer says that you have until noontime on Tuesday to accept it, and you accept it at noontime on Wednesday, it's not an acceptance because it's not consistent with the offer. Now, if it doesn't state a time, it's a reasonable period of time you would be held to. That acceptance, just like the offer, has to be communicated. It is the last step in forming the binding bilateral contract. An essential element of acceptance is the offeree's communication of their assent to agree to the terms of the offer. In order to have an acceptance, the offeree must communicate that to the offeror. Remember, silence is not acceptance. You have to communicate it. Now, how can you communicate it? By any means that is acceptable to the offeror in the offer. If it's silent, presumably any manner or means, by mail, by email, by oral conversation, however it works. Now, if it's a written contract, you're going to have to sign it. That's part of being a written contract, and that's how you accept it, is by signing it. If it's an oral contract, you can turn around and affirmatively say, I accept your offer, and I will enter into this binding contract. The closer you come to a express affirmative assent, the closer you are to making that contract a binding agreement. So there is a question of time, particularly on time contracts. There's a rule in the law known as the mailbox rule that says acceptance by mail takes effect at the time and place when the letter is mailed, not when it's received, but when it's mailed, or when the fax, if you do it by electronic means, and that applies to email as well, is transmitted by the offeree. The offeror may avoid this if they state in the offer that acceptance is only effected upon receipt. So the offer can always change the terms of the contract and what the proposal is. But if that is silent, it is accepted at the time of mailing or of transmittal if it's by electronic means. Rejections, by the way, are effective upon receipt of the offeror. So if you accept it, it's accepted upon the time of transmittal. If you reject it, is effective upon time of the receipt by the offeror. Okay. Again, unless precluded in the offer, acceptance can be delivered by any reasonable means, writing, speaking, electronic, however, whatever. Remember that in a written contract, signatures may be required for certain written contracts. Okay. Now, there's a certain type of transaction which is kind of unusual for offers and acceptances, and that is auctions. When you have an auction, it's not a traditional offer acceptance type of situation. It's got its own special rules. Each bid is an offer. And yes, the auctioneer is offering that product up, but they're offering it up. It's an invitation to negotiate and take bids. It's asking, it's an invitation for offers. So when you bid on a product, you're actually making an offer. Similarly, because a bid is merely an offer, the bidder may generally withdraw the bid at any time before it's accepted by the auctioneer. So if you make a bid, you can withdraw it any time before the auctioneer takes that. Because remember, the auctioneer becomes the person who's the offeree who gets to accept it or not. A bid is merely an invitation to negotiate. It's not a, when you ask for bids, it's an invitation to negotiate. The bid itself becomes an offer, okay? It's an offer of the party who has been invited to negotiate. When the bid is accepted, that means that the auctioneer can accept the bid, and it's usually done by banging his gavel and turning around and saying, sold, or you are the winner of the bid. And that is an express acceptance of the sale. A person making the bid becomes the offer, and the auctioneer becomes the offeree, and the bid becomes the contract based on the offer of the bidder and the acceptance of the auctioneer. This is a chart that kind of shows where acceptances come in. If an offeree accepts an offer unconditionally, the contract arises. It happens. If an offeree rejects the offer, either by not acting on it within the time frame or by expressly rejecting it or by not accepting it, then there's no contract. If an offeror makes an offer and the offeree changes or adds terms, that becomes a counteroffer. And if the original offeror then accepts the counteroffer unconditionally, then a contract happens. If the original offeror rejects the counteroffer, then there's no contract. Kind of a simple way to put it. That concludes our lesson for week 4. I hope you've enjoyed it. Remember what a contract is. It's a legally recognized binding agreement between two or more parties. You have to have an offer made by the offeror, which is a promise with reciprocal duties, offering to engage in a binding agreement. You have to have an acceptance, which is an unconditional acceptance of that offer, communicated to the offer by the offeree. It's a two-step dance. Contracts have often been held to be meetings of the minds. Why? Because you need to have a binding agreement based on genuine assent. That's what an agreement is. A contract's an agreement. And you need to have both parties agree to it, have the ability to agree to it, and then perform. We're on to our case next. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Thanks so much.